The Reboot Talk, your business podcast by Boot Düsseldorf.
Welcome to our third Reboot Talk, the business podcast by Boot Düsseldorf, where we address current developments in the water sports industry. Today we will talk about the market situation, trends and developments in the production boat sector, with motorboats and sailing yachts up to 20 meters. My name is Jörg Müller-Düno and my guests today are well-known experts in the boating industry. I'm very happy to welcome Lorenzo Argento, who is not only known for his contribution to water yachts, but has also set new standards in the design of day sailors. He's also the creative mastermind behind Beneteau's latest first sailing yachts. Also joining us today is Dr. Jens Gerhardt. He's CEO of Hanse Yachts with its various brands like Dela, Hanse, Moody, Fjord, Sea Line, and Privilege Catamarans. Hanse has also just announced another brand focused on outboard-driven powerboats. Hello, Lorenzo. Hello, Jens. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jens, the last 1.5 corona years have pushed the market extremely. From total uncertainty in spring 2020 to completely sold out boat sheds for used boats last summer until today, how was the situation in Greifswald for the last couple of months and what is your outlook for 2022 and 2023?
Yeah, thank you. Very fascinating. Very fascinating in every dimension. It's not only the used boats that are sold out. We are completely sold out almost for an entire year for all the brands we have. So the market is skyrocketing. But on the other hand, also production in pandemic times is not easy. We have always people ill in quarantine, borders closed, parts cannot come, raw material not on time. So it's kind of very, very exciting to produce. But on the other hand, of course, as you mentioned, customers are really looking for boats at the moment. I think it's not only because of pandemic. I think there's quite a lot coming positively good together. So we have just beaten the very legendary years, as we all remember, 2007, 2008, where we had also these kind of unusual high demand years. And we are now in such a time and even higher levels.
Now, how long is your waiting period for new deliveries? You said it depends on third-party distributors. What's the biggest challenge in terms of supply chain? What are you waiting for the longest?
Oh, in parts, the biggest problem is not the part itself. The biggest problem is the uncertainty that many parts from many countries are not arriving on time, and sometimes they cannot even schedule the new timing. And in the serial yard where you produce hundreds of boats, the certainty when the part will be arriving, it's more important than the part itself. At the moment, we're still missing upholstery. There's the raw material in the foam, but it's not enough in Europe. We do have a little bit of shortage in wood and corners and also glass. So it's really the basic material that's inside the production. And what we use is only nautical stuff. So we are sourcing all over Europe from all these nautical countries. And many of these small parts are missing. And then sails is the upgrade sails. Also there, the raw material inside the sailings and inside the sails itself, it's not in Europe anymore there. So it's kind of hard to wait for all these parts. The majority of the parts are there. So not like the German car industry, we had to stop the production. We can almost finish the boat and then wait only for those little parts to arrive and then finish it completely. It's not so nice for the customers because they sometimes don't have the date when the boat is finished. But of course, for us in the production, we do not have to stop the production so far.
You said the waiting list is about 1 year long. Is that for motorboats as well as for sailing boats?
Motorboat, but not demand driven. It's more supply driven. The motorboats need a big motor, and the motors are having part problems, so they have a shortage in production at the moment, and we are waiting there for motors to come. And so the production in motorboats is slower, which means for a good demand, you have to wait longer. So sailboats are sold out for 11 months and motorboats for 15.
How long will this situation last? Are you seeing any signs that the market will cool down a bit in the next couple of years?
Logically, it must. There are a certain number of nautical people on the planet, and they are more or less stable. You're not getting more nautical just because you have demographic changes or want to spend more for your holiday. So there must be a place where we take the demand of the next years to this year. And then after a couple of years, logically, it must cool down a little bit. But I doubt it would be as high as 10 years ago, because the overall positively trends, you want to make your holiday local because of climate change. You want to spend a lot of money for your holiday, and not everybody loves camping. And so I think the general trends towards this sport and this industry, I think is long-term, but the hype around the pandemic must go away in a couple of years.
Lorenzo, let's dare and look a couple of years ahead. Do we have to expect a huge wave of young used boats entering the market once the pandemic is under control and global travel activities may be possible again?
The issue of a young generation is getting more and more important, because you get older and older people, you know, using the boats, and to attract the new the kids, you know, to enjoy cruising, which is a beautiful thing to do. I mean, instead of going camping or even on small boat on flotilla, I don't see much of that, unfortunately. And I see a lot of young kids being attracted by the sport, by the dinghies, by the Magis, whatever fleet. I just got back from 1 week in Croatia. Obviously, there is just one part of the market, but you see, as usual, a lot of chartered boat. But mostly, you don't, and you, unfortunately, you don't see the young guns. I mean, the young groups of kids, which is the most affordable way prior you buy a boat. I mean, you want to really go through that kind of experience. Now you use a boat. You don't use your parents' boat because your parents don't let you to use the boat. So it's kind of, you know, how we all did it, and so boats get more and more comfortable, more easy to use, more because of also that they go together within, you know, the average age simply growing, and you see a lot of couples or people that just enjoy sailing, but they need easier tools to handle.
When we talk about the trends in the design and equipment of production boats, it looks like the trend, especially in sailing yachts, still aims on more comfort, more ease of use, more simplicity in handling. Lorenzo, do you see sailors becoming more and more interested in comfort and less in sportive sailing?
It's a combination of things. I mean, the idea is that the sailor, and this was to do, for example, with our day sailing projects, and because there is a big separation between the sailors, the guys that really enjoy sailing the boats, and the guests, which is a typical thing of powerboats. Now, on a powerboat, you would bring friends that know nothing about boats. You just try, and you just enjoy driving the boat. And it's very much the same thing on these boats. The sailors are fewer, and they really need to have kind of a full control in order to enjoy the sailing while the guests enjoying the hanging out. So that there is a combination of that. There is a combination of, obviously, technology helps to assist the sailing at all levels. And we were fortunate enough in our career to witness some of the major changes with the introduction of hydraulics or whatever, you name it. Cooling units, whatever, but again, I see more the fact that there is this split now between. It's not the group of friends that a lot of people just go on the boat. They know nothing, and so the driver, the owner, has to have hands on at least on the sailing aspects. So maybe then parking the boat is a little different issue, so you might need some more help, but at least the sailing needs to be kind of concentrated, so winch are closer to the steering wheel, push button sailing, obviously, and all these things, depending on the size.
How do you see it, Jens? You have with Hanse a very comfort-oriented brand with a focus on easy boat handling and ease of sailing. And you have, on the other hand side, the traditionally more sportive brand named Dela, which is still focusing on slightly more ambitious buyers and owners who have a focus on performance. Do you see a change in demand for both segments? Is it a trend to invest more and more in comfort and ease of boat handling?
I think this both goes together. Every sailor, to our mind, that's our thinking, every sailor cares about speed. As soon as you're out there and there's another sail somewhere, the race starts. And this is independently of your boat size and your age and whatever segment are you in, you don't care. And when you're out there, you're racing. And so that's what we build in all the boats. Since, I don't know, 6 years or so, we are putting in every dealer a carbon cage inside. So the bottom structure is enforced by carbon. And all the Hanses are easy to maneuver. Yes, they must be single-handed usable, but they are not slow. If you take other products as an example, you take an iPhone. So this is a telephone where there has all buttons are removed. And when they remove all the buttons, it suddenly is like a phone for old people, right? If then the phone is slow, you can you have a senior phone and nobody wants it anymore. So it can only go together with speed. So what we do is, yes, the Hanses are easy handling. And yes, the Delas are more traditional and have carbon inside, but they're all not slow. So if you compare it to other boats that are comparable, if there is a user who know how to use the boat, he will not be slow. And I think that's important for every sailor on all sizes. But on the other hand, people don't want to go on the ocean and suffer like in, I don't know, 30 years ago when they fight around the earth in cold weather and lost an arm and then another arm. And these kind of adventures these days are gone. People want out there being in luxury together with a family. And then they want to have refrigerators and floaters everywhere, 2, 3, 4 of them. And they will have it as easy as possible, as safe as possible. Safety is a big issue and ease of use. And that goes together. But of course, as soon as they have in sight, there is another sail on the ocean, they are in race. So that must come together all the time. We don't want to go slow with our cars, with our telephones, with our computers, and also not with the sailboats. They have to be, a Hanse has to be a good sailing, fast sailing, active sailing boat, and you cannot be slow and have paid, I don't know, 300,000 euros for it.
Jens, you have about 6 brands in your Hanse Group portfolio, and you've just announced another one focusing on powerboats with outboard engines. Is the boating industry moving in the same direction as, for instance, the automotive industry with more and more brands and sub-brands for different segments and different market niches? Is that necessary?
That is a very good question. It's not so easy to answer. We discussed also with the new brand if we call it a Hanse or if we call it a Sea Line or a Fjord, but there's always something against it. If you target a complete new segment that has not really much to do with what you have existed before, there's no so much synergy and there's not so much money to be not wasted with a new brand that leads you at the end to the next brand. And yes, there are many brands out there, but this is a global industry and one of the industries that have been globalized first. We are traveling with boats in 10,000 years and there are almost as many brands as there are havers, I think. If you just build a boat or two or maybe 10 a year, you can build your own brand. It's quite easy to enter in this industry. Difficulties become if you produce more than 10, then you become a factory, and then it's very hard to enter this industry. But with this complexity of brands, I think the customers are facing since many, many years, and the market is used to have a lot of brands everywhere, new ones, old brands, different countries, different segments. And I think that the customers can cope with this very easy. And for us, of course, it's easier to focus in marketing and also in sales more directly towards a special certain customer segment and then put then all the brochures, website, material that you're facing to the customer in front of an exactly language that these customer segment needs, and then it makes your life so much easier. It's a bit complicated for journalists, I think, also for customers a little bit, but on the other hand, in this market, everybody's used to do this since decades.
Let's talk about new product designs and features. What will be the focus in the next few years in terms of living and comfort? Is it necessary to create more space below deck? If so, how is this implemented in a sailing boat, Lorenzo?
Well, it depends because as long as boats get sold at the boat shows, particularly in Düsseldorf, where they are in a nice environment, in a closed shed, the perception of the boat feels and move around sometimes is a little lost, and so there is for me a boat is a boat, and so it's is used. Speed is an issue as well as the pleasure of sailing, which is the two things combined. No, it's not only a question of speed or pure speed, is the actual pleasure of sailing. So there is a tendency obviously to make bigger tiers in order to, but for example, there is also, I mean, that now we have had the opportunity to work on different size of the Beneteau Group, and there is I mean a larger cabin, I mean maybe smaller common area, larger cockpit, and so it's kind of a it's but it's at the end of the day, it's a lot to do with who are you targeting the boat to, no? I mean, and I see more and more a split between the kind of the high-end expensive market, whichever size. I mean, it could be from 30 footers up to 60 footers, and compared to the larger production is targeting the charter market big time, so he has to accommodate needs that are for people that maybe use the boat only 10 days a year or so. So I mean, and I see as maybe that there is a concentration of money in fewer hands. There is a bit of I see a bit of that. So boats that I mean, you could build a 40 footer or 30 footer for the same money that you buy in nearly a 45 or 50 footer production boat. So there is a bit, and I see these splits more and more.
Interior design-wise, we have seen a development away from classic wooden look to the modern loft-style atmosphere, sometimes even edgy and sharp. Even the more traditional yachts offer lighter materials now. Lorenzo, what can we expect from the new designs in the future?
Well, yes, because by trade I'm not so much of an interior designer, I mean, or a decorator, no? So for me, I come from I'm a yacht designer in a full sense, no? So it's for me about when you are 10 miles out of in the ocean or even in the lake, you are like no 3,000 meters up in a mountain. You don't need the big villa that you might get at 1,000 meters out of up in the mountain. But when you're in severe weather or just the one I got here today, and it's safety, how you move around when the boat heels, to avoid the sharp edges, and which we have done. I mean, I've done it in the past, because you want to be super. You really have to soften this, because again, when you're out there 10 miles, even 5 miles, you are in exposed. You expose yourself to anything. So safety is a priority, as well as the fact that you want to maybe enjoy a different environment altogether. You don't want to get out of your. I mean, all these guys, they go in beautiful hotels. They have beautiful homes. You know, if they can afford. A big boat, even a smaller boat, but it's so they know what good things might look like. That one of the exercises was to give back a little bit of a marine feeling. No, I mean something that you really feel you are on a boat, which clashes sometimes with the number of items that customers tends to put on a boat, and or we offer them to put on a boat now, which is. fully equipped from air conditioning, fridges of all kind of measures, and microwave, all the things that you typically have at home. And so that is always also a trade-off that you have to sometimes make now, because then you give up all the available space because you fill the boat with the canteen. No? When they tell me, I want a canteen, I said, but you have a canteen at home? No. What do you want on the boat? You have a fridge, that's plenty enough.
Let's talk about pushing the market. I like the idea because we see new technologies being developed for races like the America's Cup. But Jens, when we will see foiling boats from Hanseyards?
That's a nice question. We looked at it in depth in developing the Dela 30 one design. And we even in that extreme nice and racy boat, we went against the decision making foils in it because these are very expensive things, toys, and also hard to use. Of course, the racers that are using the Dela 30, they would be able to use them. But at the end, it was price of the toy went up by so much that we opt against it. The Dela 30 now, it's much more affordable for sports clubs and for users. And at the moment, I think we need to make the sport also payable, available. And if you double the price, you're cutting down the user group by 10 or so. And a foil in a small boat can easily double the price. And a foil in a big boat isn't worth doing it. So at the moment, this is not the right technology for serial boat production. But there are other trends. I mean, we do, I think, see more carbon in every boat. Carbon is being used much more. And also lots of other things. There are inventions and motors. And you talked with Lorenzo about the sizes of boats. And there is not the only way is making the hull bigger, which slows down the boat. You can find other ways that taking out storage or space that people don't need and put it only for those people in that are needing it. Or in a motorboat, there are different ways of putting the boat. For example, with outboards, you gain a lot of space in a boat. And also with Z drives instead of the jet drives, you are gaining a lot of space inside boats. So we have to be creative, giving people the new technology that they need. And it does not always have to be the very much expensive one, which is at the moment foiling. It's cheap and easy to make a foil on a surfboard, yeah, but it's a much different thing on a big boat. So I doubt that in the moment we would make that.
But when can we expect to see the features of the double-layered mainsail we saw this spring in Auckland, New Zealand? Will we ever see something like this on a Dela yacht? You can both answer the question.
Well, again, it's one of those things. It's so sophisticated, so complicated to trim. You have to pull up two mains. You have to trim the mains together. The mast that goes with the two mains is even more sophisticated than any carbon fiber mast that you can hold on with rod rigging or carbon rigging or with spreaders. So it may be on a smaller scale boat, yes. I think the Figaro 3 pushed already, but it's not only the use of the boat. The interesting thing is the way these guys park their boat. Because if you enter in any marina with a Figaro 3, 50% of a possibility to damage the foils. I mean, this is impractical, totally unusable to a family level or to a fun level. No, it gets over too complicated. That's my view.
You said foils are for powerboats. Let's talk about powerboats for a while. Jens, space and volume has always been a big thing here. Do you see any major trends in powerboat development in the next few years, like we've just talked about in the sailing boat industry?
Yes, it goes together. I think that's the exciting part. Also, the last question Lorenzo answered is the thing that is making this industry so exciting, that we are young. We have started 50, 60 years ago making this kind of GRP boats that we are sailing on, and boats and motors and sail. And that is not old. This is a very young industry. Wooden boats were there for hundreds and thousands of years, but GRP boats is a young industry, and that makes it scalable and that makes it industrializable. And that's why we have this industry now, when this is a very young industry. if we were cars, we would be in the year 1928. And 1928, the cars look much different than today. That's because the technology and the development is yet to come. And I think with boats, it's the same, also motorboats, especially with motorboats. Motorboats with these big diesel engines are a very, very young product. And it will be changed in the next 10 years, like very, very crazy. We are building the first boat that is powered by ammonia at the moment. There is no way of moving a fjord with diesel with 40 knots in 20 years to come because of the environmental issues that come along. And it's also not possible to move it with batteries. So what we have to do is to find other technologies, other cells to fuel. And we're testing ammonia at the moment. There are many inventions that are still to come. At the moment, also, if you go down in such a diesel-powered boat, there's not so much space as you would imagine. If you go inside a sailboat, you have a lot of more space because that motor is like a big rocket and it eats up so much of the boat. And then we would like to give this space to the user, so because he had paid for, and not only to the big motor. So we are doing ground research here to get to other ways of moving boats here. And at the moment, I think even the bigger innovations must come in motorboats. Of course, they do also in sailboats. They can have, as you just said before, have a lot of things around how the sail works. And in motorboats, there will be many ways to where is the power coming out. And also a little bit like, how am I using the space? Logically, we should see a big development towards catamaran power boats. If it would be pure by logic, because it has more space, it has less water resistant, but of course it's then not so easy to make it that top speed that fjord makes. So that there's a little bit still to develop, but I think maybe the future boat is like a catamaran, maybe not so far apart like the privileges, but a little bit less beamy, but still a catamaran and has ammonia as fuel. And then the space inside the boat is much different than today.
Lorenzo, do you already have a catamaran in your drawer?
No. We are working on not cat. The only one thing, the other thing missing, one of the things that we are participating on a slow powerboat project, which means basically a fishing boat. Which is which address the people that because maybe they're all older age or they don't want all the hassles of sailing boats. They typically used to charter a 60-foot sailing boat, and they find themselves they never use the sails for a million reasons, but they have the mindset to sail the boat slowly, no? Because the one thing is the fjord that goes at 40 knots. Fine. And it has typical use. Maybe if you want to cruise around Croatia, Greece, and you want to move the boat at night, why not? Top speed could be 10 knots, 9 knots. And so you address the low consumption. You can also work on monohulls forms, which is a little easier maybe to park and to moor in the marinas. So it's a gentle now, less. Reduced consumption, hull shape, and less power. But for sure, the electric is not the answer. I mean, you can have hybrid solutions, but still, if you want to even go at 10 knots for a decent number of hours, you need an engine of some kind.
That's an interesting aspect.
Following the last statement from Jens, touching the field of sustainability here. The entire industry talks about electric and hydrogen propulsion in the boating and yachting industry. On the other hand side, there's hardly any marina in the world where you could top up your electro boat's batteries with a fast charging technology. How do you see the demand in this field of electric propulsion? What do your clients ask for, Jens?
We are the only serial yard in the world that has an electric sailboat. Hansa 315 is called e-rudder drive, and you can purchase it with an e-rudder drive that is completely remove diesel and no fossil fuel, only goes on batteries. And with a small and a bigger version, and we see honestly a very low demand for it. We do produce some of them every year, but it's almost all the time to some lakes where diesel is forbidden. So if you force the customer, he's happy to take it. But if you don't force him, nobody wants it at the moment, besides some people that have made their money with green energy and for they need that kind of boat for their image. And also some people that have a long time ago cruising really around the world and can afford that too. We have also produced huge privileged catamarans that are on batteries only, so with a very small one and a very big one and nothing in between, and so that is not really a big market. The big privilege that goes around the world that does not need the big Haber to produce the energy, it makes it by itself, because it's solar cells and then wind power and also in the water using the steam, so you can sail your batteries full. If you have time and go around the world, that's fine enough for you. But yes, in a normal Haber, you could not produce the energy that all the people need, and all the people in the Haber could not afford so much batteries. And if there were so much batteries, I think that would not be environmental friendly. And if that thing burns, nobody can, I mean, that would burn forever. So this would not be a step towards environmental friendly boats. I think it's more environmental friendly to have a little diesel and use it very seldom and more or less go on sail wherever you can. That is already the best you can. And in the future, that will be replaced by something else. Of course, we will not burn diesel forever. But it will surely not be batteries. And if it's batteries, it's not environmental friendly. And so it must be something else. So it's H2, ammonia, for example, or was based in somewhere else. Japan is going very fast towards ammonia. We think that is the easiest way to store H2 hydrogen. And I think and that's why we are producing the first Hanse 348 with that kind of motor. And of course, with our environmental friendly produced ammonia, you can produce it, of course, in other ways, but you can produce it easily with the sun here in Germany. And that's a test we will do in the next years. Of course, this is groundwork for the next few years to come. I think that there will not be big changes, but of course, we must think ahead. But how would a fjord look like in 10 or 20 years? And I think it will easily go as today or even better, and it will burn ammonia.
You tried to equip the Dela 30 with an electric engine. Why didn't that work?
That was our first idea. And all the athletes in the world, this boat was designed to be a boat that, for example, could be used in Olympic Games or in other sports. So it's very, very tough, debated by sport people. But of course, it's an offshore boat. So you can race, I don't know, around Britain or... and then people said that, of course, safety on such a boat is the first and most important point. If you talk about batteries, people are immediately have the impulse to say, what if there's a little failure? We all know that batteries fail very often and they're not so reliable, and you cannot see if they might fail by just looking at them. And so the aspect of safety was first here. And we dropped that first design of it and changed it to a little, very tiny little diesel. And then we developed the stealth drive. So when you're out and you're racing, you put the whole thing back into the hull, and then you have less water resistance. And so the motor is just used for mooring the boat, and during the regatta is completely gone. So that was our second approach. But yes, in the first approach, we thought about an electric boat. At that point in time, the 3.5 Hanse with an electric motor, the e-rider drive, was quite new, and we had some early orders, but now it's a couple of years ago, and we know the demand of these electric boats is quite low. People are afraid of the safety issues, and the usage is not offshore. It's the opposite, it's lakes.
Lorenzo, you work quite closely with Michael Schmidt and Y-Yachts, also based in Greifswald, by the way. Are there any electric or hydrogen-powered boats on the production plan there? Do you see an increasing demand for alternative propulsion systems, especially in the larger boat segment?
I think there is two ways. One way is closely following the Candela speedboat experiment or speedboat yard. I don't know if you are familiar with that concept, but it's electric propulsion on foils. And the other way around, no, is given a package of power that you can have, you need to reduce resistance big time. One way is catamarans for sure. The other way is foils, and then you can make a full use because basically you use the same power when you're foiling or when you are in whatever 5 knots displacement speed. So that's, I find it interesting, as well as a hybrid concept. But unfortunately, until the automotive industry don't give away, I don't know. This is personally, I have little knowledge on that. But I might see the hybrid concept because you have to overcome the safety factor. You have to have power if you need it. But I also like a lot the hybrid concept of the sailing boat altogether, meaning that it's like a powered e-bike. So where you have a little bit of sail and a little bit of, this concept that you never have enough electrical power. In reality, if you use it as an electric bike, your concept, so a hybrid, so you have the forces of the sail, particularly obviously in low wind, you can add a little bit of electric power in order to win that extra knot, which makes a big difference because maybe you're sailing at 3 knots and you end up sailing at 4.5 knots or 5 knots. And so you that gain, you know, you create your own upper wind. And so with a little bit of extra power, you can have a big benefit. But again, it's people like us that need to push these ideas to show that these ideas might work. And so at the end of the day, you don't use so much power. And but still, you can't be only electric on a standard boat. So.
Let's have a look at January 2022 and Boat Düsseldorf. Are you expecting a strong run on the boat show, Jens?
By then it will be called 2022. That still sounds unusual for us, and I hope everybody is very energetic and looks much forward to go there after being absent for such a long time. I think the summer shows in the Met, there will be many of them happening this summer, but they will be all a little bit smaller. People are still afraid of traveling. We're still afraid of the next waves to come. But I think in general, we must be beyond this pandemic situation and coming back. And then after such a long time, so much going on the market, so many new products, things to look at. And then after being so long only online and having it only in 3D models, people want to see the real thing. And I hope we will have a fantastic show, maybe the best ever.
Will exhibitors plan optimistically again, or rather wait and see what happens with the pandemic situation and the market in general? What will your brands bring to the show? Can we already look forward to production innovations and new designs?
Yeah, we have three power boats at present under construction that, if Corona is not stopping us, we will bring to Düsseldorf.
Good.
Of course, there. Production at the moment is a bit more uncertain. We spoke about it before, but they're normally they should be at Düsseldorf. And one of them is a complete new brand that you have not seen before. We have the new Hanse. And of course, you can see of all the boats we have developed in the last 2 years that nobody could see at any boat show. So for customers, there will be even more new boats because they have seen them, maybe even in their neighbor. They have seen them online, but they could not go to a boat show because there wasn't any boat shows. And so for Düsseldorf, I think even all the boats we produced 2 years before are new boats and so somewhat to the customer. So I think that must be a reason to come.
Right. Lorenzo, any new boat from your studio? Maybe a new Beneteau First 40 everyone seems to be waiting for?
I didn't know there was a new First 40.
I've already heard about it.
I think there is a new First 36. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. No, I don't think there is anything in that size. But yeah, it will be nice to see how the reaction, people reaction will be, because I attended a General Butcher last year. I felt much kind of higher interest, and in a way, like we have little time to focus. And so I met very interested people in general. I mean, very focused, very, because maybe butchers were used to being also in a way, you know, kind of a entertainment or instead, I had this feeling that there was a lot of pressure not to see the real things and to be, yeah, and to ask the right questions. So I'm pretty sure you will see that more in this event.
Yes, I hope to see you there as well and see us again. But first of all, let's hope for a good summer with lots of sailing and powerboat activities for all of us and all the people listening to this quite interesting episode today. From my point of view, we are done. Thank you very, very much. Thanks for your time. And again, have a great summer. And we are looking forward to Boat 2022 and meeting you there. And we are very curious about what you will bring to the boat show in January. Thank you, Jens. Thank you, Lorenzo. Goodbye, Lorenzo.
All the best.
Thank you.
All the best. Thank you.
The Reboot Talk. Your business podcast by Boat Düsseldorf.